Good morning and welcome. If you have your Bible with you, either in printed form or in digital form, I encourage you to turn there in your Bible to Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, and keep your finger there, and then turn back to Leviticus chapter 7 and verse 26. This message and this new series that I am preaching, which I've entitled Power of the Blood, Sermons on Life and Power of the Gospel. I based this series on a book that I read many years ago, The Chemistry of the Blood by Martin Dehan. Actually, just one chapter in the book is what I based these three messages on. And I titled this message, Life in the Blood of Jesus. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 26 and verse 27 reads, Moreover, you shall not eat any blood in any of your dwellings, whether of bird or beast. Whoever eats any blood, that person shall be cut off from his people. The Bible is a book of blood. The only thing which gives life to our teaching and power to the Word of God is the fact that it is the blood which is the very life and power of the gospel. The Bible is a living book, and it imparts life to all those who believe. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 tells us, For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Why is the Bible alive? Well, it has the blood flowing through it. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, there is a spiritual bloodstream. And without the blood, the Bible would be no different than any other book, no more valuable. The principle that I'm talking about here is that there can be no life without the blood. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, our text, tells us, For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. And then if you go down to verse 14, For it is the life of all flesh. Its blood sustains its life. Therefore, I said to the children of Israel, You shall not eat the blood of any flesh, for the life of the flesh is its blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. Human blood is the point, and the blood of Jesus Christ. Not only did his blood contain life for him physically, but it also holds the power of eternal life. The human body has so many different types of tissue, muscle, nerve, fat, gland, bone, connecting tissues, and on and on. And all these are fixed to a part of the body. But the blood is fluid and mobile, free to move throughout the entire body. The blood supplies nourishment to every fixed cell it touches. It also carries away the waste products of the cells. There are approximately five quarts of blood in the human body, circulating completely in 23 seconds, supplying and cleansing. It is in constant communication with every cell of the body. The mystery of life is in the blood. If it fails to reach cells of the body, those cells die. These physical traits point to a greater, deeper spiritual truth. The church of Jesus Christ is His body. He is the head, and all the believers are the rest of the body. All the members are related by His blood. The life of each member depends on His blood for nourishment, cleansing, and growth. Every born-again believer lives the common life of every other born-again believer by the one thing which unites them and makes them brothers and sisters, the blood of Jesus Christ. We are all separate members in the body, differing in function, and while we are united by the blood which reaches all of us. There's only one true church, those who trust in Jesus Christ. You must be born again. You are lost regardless of what church you belong to unless you have been washed in the precious blood of Christ. Here's the reality. All of mankind, men and women, are related by the blood of Adam. His polluted blood, dead in trespasses and sin, has passed to every one of us. Paul tells us in Acts chapter 17, in verse 26, when he's there on Mars Hill giving his sermon, he says, "And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings." We have a common origin in Adam, and the blood of that man carries the sentence of death because of Adam's sin. It is for this reason that all of mankind die a common death, with no exception. The life is in the blood, so therefore death is also in the blood of Adam. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. "But the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." So powerful is the poison of sin that even 6,000 years later, all those related to Adam by human birth still die because of it. And all men and women are related to Adam. Paul just told us that in Acts chapter 17. The very fact that sin is in the human blood required the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. If he was to be a son of Adam and yet be a sinless man, he could receive Adam's flesh, which is not inherently sinful, but he could not have Adam's blood, which is poisoned by sin. The only way for Jesus to be born of a woman but conceived of the Holy Spirit, that was the only way. Because not a drop of Adam's blood flowed in his veins, Jesus did not share in Adam's sin. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13. "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Sin is in the blood, and the whole plan of mankind's redemption Salvation revolves around the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. A close look at blood within our human bodies reveals this spiritual principle of new life. Blood is the only tissue with unlimited movement within the body. All other tissues are fixed, but blood circulates and touches every cell, uniting them to each other and all of them to the head. There are other fluids of the body, saliva, gastric juices, tears, bile, and others, but they're only bodily products. They're not fixed cells of the body. What spiritual reality can we learn from blood? Well, just consider with me, just indulge me for a few moments to take you on a tour of the blood of the body, the human body. Just consider for a moment the makeup of blood. There's a liquid called plasma, which is colorless. Major solids are also present. Platelets, which are transparent. Erythrocytes, which are red cells. And leukocytes, which are white cells. Blood includes several other minor elements as well, such as antigens and antibodies. First, red blood cells. Red blood cells operate like a health department, if you will, for the body. They are disc-shaped, containing an iron compound called hemoglobin, which likes oxygen. They get it in the lungs and carry it to all the body cells while providing energy to burn. After delivering the goods, red cells pick up all the waste from the body cells and carry it away to dispose of it as garbage. It's the principle of nourishment and cleansing. Nourishment and cleansing. Nourishment and cleansing. The precious blood of Jesus Christ performs a similar function spiritually. He is the only source of life and the only sin-cleansing power. Our eternal life is truly eternal life. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You remember the old hymn? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Only His sinless, natural blood, supernatural blood does it. So red blood cells operate like a health department for the body, bringing nourishment and cleansing away the waste. Second is white blood cells. White blood cells operate like a war department for the body. They are larger than red cells, but they're fewer in number. However, white cells increase rapidly in an emergency. When an infection occurs, an attack by germs, a call is made to the white cell camp where they're produced. Numbers are increased to fight the germ attack, like the draft during a time of war. White cells are the body's battle troops. For example, when a cut becomes infected, swelling occurs as blood arrives at the battlefield carrying the white cells. They surround the infection area and attack the germs. Millions of white cells are killed in the battle, and they form pus, which is expelled from the body. more white cells arrive to clean up and build new tissue, working until all is healed and only scar tissue remains. After the war is fought and won, the number of white cells returns to the normal count of peacetime. By the way, that's the primary purpose of blood tests when you're sick, to see what the levels are of each, which will determine whether there's an infection present or whether it's been overcome. David said, and boy, did he say this so truthfully, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." I mean, those words that little kids learn right from the beginning in Sunday school, in church, those words are powerful words. "I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ performs a similar function as the white blood cells." Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. "And then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." Just like the white blood cells. This refers to Israel in the tribulation, but also applies to us today as well. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. That's never stopped. Bringing all sorts of charges to God the Father, pointing to our sin. But there is one there for us. Our high priest, Jesus Christ. All he needs to do is point to the blood that was shed for us. And it is sufficient. How do we overcome the enemy and his attack? Well, by the blood of the Lamb. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness." But if you go back a couple of verses to verse 7, it tells us, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." What about the antibodies and the antitoxins? Well, they're immunities to prevent infection. After a person has a disease, the body builds a resistance to a reoccurrence. And guess what? The immunity. That immunity is in the blood. After we've been saved, we're still open to attack by the enemy. The world, the devil, the flesh, all sources of temptation to sin. Each failure as a Christian should result in an immunity to sin that way again. What's the difference between the sinner and the saint? Well, the saint hates sin and pleads the blood, while the sinner loves sin and returns to it. The saint falls into sin, but will never remain there. First John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Listen, don't deny your sins, but rather confess them. Confession prompts a call to bring an army of white cells of the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you. Jesus can cleanse you, and he can keep you by his blood. Nourishment and cleansing. Nourishment and cleansing as he takes care of us to present us blameless before the Father. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that the blood of Jesus Christ is what cleanses us and what keeps us clean. And Father, as we look at your creation, we particularly at this human body, the analogy used in Scripture, and we look at the blood and how important and how functioning the blood is in the body, Father, we are just overwhelmed. And Father, I just pray that each one of us would realize and understand that we have life in Christ because of His blood. We have life physically because of the blood. Father, I pray that each one here would be convicted if there's a need to change, and would be convicted of what needs to change. And Father, that you would give grace to act upon your word and to apply that truth, to not walk in sin, but to confess sin. And your promise that if we confess our sins, you are just and right to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Father, we just place this before you. And Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would do business with every person watching or listening to this message. And Father, it's in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 And you have a great day.